Let's go now to our film and TV correspondent this morning, Laumata Loano. Kia ora, good morning.
Hello, Susie. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And thank you for coming on 9 to Noon. Your first one that we're going to talk about this morning is Girl in the Picture on Netflix.
Yes, so Girl in the Picture comes from director Sky Borgman, who made the crazy and horrifying Abducted in Plain Sight docker. So you already have an inkling this one's going to make your jaw drop or a tear drop at some point. Borgman doesn't disappoint. Girl in the Picture is almost an unbelievable story. You're fascinated by the premise, but soon it becomes dizzying. Suddenly it turns repulsive and eventually absolutely heartbreaking.
Okay, so what is the premise?
So it's a hit and run. It's about a hit and run victim. So her friends contact her family only to find out that that person, Tanya, had actually died as a toddler. So obviously this hit and run victim who leaves behind a 2-year-old son, Michael, and her much older husband, Clarence, wasn't who people thought she was. She was really a girl named Sharon, and Clarence was apparently her dad.
Okay.
Who we soon find out is actually a convicted felon for many things, including a charge of kidnapping and molesting a 4-year-old girl, and has been a fugitive since 1973.
Okay, it sounds like it's getting quite complex with the story and the identities. Do they hold it together?
They do hold it together, but sometimes I feel like it requires a flow diagram of sorts, because that's not where the story or their identities end. Because when you're watching it does become quite dizzying, and I really mean it, because they're one person and then you find out they're another person. So very many identities up and down the country that you come to discover.
Now, we're not wanting to give anything away on this one, but the title of it, Girl in the Picture, what is the picture that's being referred to?
So the picture itself is of 6-year-old Sharon sitting on who we believe is her father's knee, with just the saddest expression on her face, and something you really you wouldn't expect to see from, obviously, a child sitting on the knee of their father if they're in a healthy, happy environment. And so it just alludes to, obviously, the disturbing truth behind their relationship that you come to discover as you continue to watch the documentary.
So this whole situation, I mean, it is a complex one, as you're saying, you've got to try and keep track of it all. What is your sense of this? It's worth a watch by the sound of things.
Definitely. It is very much worth a watch. I think Borgman's greatest service to the story is that she keeps the victims front and center, whether it be Sharon herself or her son and his foster parents or Sharon's high school friends who remember her with such fondness, it's hard not to feel so sad about the whole situation. So it's good to watch it with the victims front of mind rather than just having all this information about the perpetrator thrown at you. And I'm glad that they don't at all try to make you feel sorry for the perpetrator in any way.
Okay, that one sounds pretty intriguing. Girl in the Picture on Netflix, that one. Also, let's talk about another Netflix one, The Sea Beast.
Yes, so Netflix's animated film, The Sea Beast, set in an era when terrifying beasts roamed the seas and monster hunters were celebrated heroes. So in this world, no monster hunter was more beloved than the great Jacob Holland, played by Aotearoa's very own Carl Urban.
Okay, and does he have a Kiwi accent?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, they keep it in.
His leave is cute. Yeah, New Zealand accent in there, so you know immediately, oh, that's a Kiwi.
Who is the story told through? Whose eyes do we see it in?
So we see it through the eyes of an orphan child, Maisie, voiced by Zara's Angel Hater. Who goes from an adoring fan and upstart stowaway to unlikely ally before questioning the way things are and turning into this catalyst for change.
Now the tale itself, What's it centering on?
So it centers around this hero and this orphan child who they come to discover something that people do things or believe things because they're told to by those in power, in this case a king and a queen on this island kingdom, until something is discovered and that belief is changed. So people are searching, I mean, people are afraid of these monsters, and these heroes go out and kill these monsters. But is that how exactly this whole war against these creatures started is a little bit hazy, and obviously history is told by the winners, so, or by those who write. So you don't see things how they really truly are from the other perspective, which these two discover themselves.
So where does it land on the monster hunters? Are they heroes or bullies?
Oh, that's the thing, though, isn't it? It's almost like, from one perspective, they are, because, you know, they're following this belief and doing what they think is right. But on the other side, some of them kind of take too much glory, too much delight in actually doing these killings. So there's a fine line there that is sort of looked at from during this film. But yeah, at the end of the day, the film's quite predictable in that they do draw that hard line, and they make these heroes or the people look at going from these are heroes to these are bullies. Quite easily, quite simply.
So, I mean, is that, when you say it's quite predictable, does that mean it's a good watch or not?
Oh, I mean, it's still good. I mean, there are plenty of fantastical things to be seen. There are a few laughs here and there. The monsters are cute once you get to know them, sort of thing. I would say it's still a good watch. I know kids would love it. My son loves it. But, you know, beware, there are a few scenes that could trigger one's thalassophobia, so the intense phobia of fear of large bodies of water.
Now, finally this morning, let's talk about This Is Still Here, and that's through TVNZ, but it's Renews.
Yes. So this documentary is an all Pacifica woman-led documentary about Pacific families living in the inner city, Auckland inner city. It's a that haven't yet left. It's quite emotional in a very subtle way.
Okay. So, tell us more. How does this work, and whereabouts is it centred?
Produced by Samoan Therese Laulu and first-time director and creator Fijian Lithia Doimburelevu. It's a four-part docu that centres about the families who are still living in the inner city suburbs of Auckland, from Ponsonby or Greatland to Herne Bay.
Okay, and just quickly, tell us about the good bits.
Oh, it's they're 15 minutes long, each of these episodes. They really take a dive into the rich Pacific history of these affluent suburbs through archival footage of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and of course, talking to the families that are still there. It doesn't really focus just on the past, but it's truly a celebration of the small percentage of that Pacifica presence still
nice.
In the area.